Hey guys, welcome to Tales from a Butterfly podcast. I'm your host, Taria Shondell. Sometimes caterpillar, sometimes butterfly, but always striving to make it through life's many metamorphoses with my faith intact. With this podcast, I hope to encourage anyone that is going through life situations, no matter what they are, that have left you feeling like you will forever be a caterpillar in the cocooning stage, having to continually shed your skin while fighting to get free from any chains that are holding you back from your transformation. I want to tell you, keep your faith in the transformer, believing that just like the butterfly, when you come out, you will be a thing of beauty who is not afraid to fly. So come on, my butterflies, let's fly. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/talesfromabutterfly. Guys, with over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, iPad, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, you can't go wrong. Now, I love to read, but with me being on the go a lot, sometimes the easiest thing to do is to download an audiobook and let the audio take me on a journey and tell me the story. So go on over to www.audibletrial.com/talesfromabutterfly for your free 30-day trial and download your free audiobook today. You're listening to episode 17 of the Tales from a Butterfly podcast titled Michelle Thornton, From Bad Chick to That Chick Who Is Now Strategic. And I'm your host, Taria Shondell. So let's get into it. Hi guys, thank you so much for downloading this episode. Today I am extremely humbled, excited, blessed, a little bit nervous, and honored to be interviewing an upscale woman who is a straight up wonder. Her cape, colored with her Ad Color Change Agent and American Advertising Federation Mosaic Role Model of the Year Awards, is stamped twice with the Black Girls Rock Award while being lined with the honor of receiving the Jesse Banks Humanitarian Award. She heads up TV sales for BET Network centric brand, the first network designed for women of color, the senior vice president of BET sales, and just one cool chick, Michelle Thornton. I'm so excited, y'all. I just had to say that. And I'm sitting across from the Michelle Thornton.
Yeah. So let me say this. I have a couple things to say. One, why am I number 17? Okay. We'll get to back to that. Second thing, the Black Girls That Rock Award was an internal award, which actually means a lot to me because my peers said that I'm a Black Girl That Rocks.
Wow.
So it's something that they set up. They wanted to honor me 2 years in a row because of my stride and my walk when I came here to BET Networks. So I wanted to just clarify that. So people are like, I never saw her at Black Girls Rock. I'm an internal Black Girl That Rocks, and I'm proud. Out of it.
And that says a lot that your people two yeah. times. So that says a lot about you as a person and you as a leader.
Well, let me just say this is my first in-person podcast that will now be called Lifecast.
Yes.
Because this young lady was so persistent and she followed the strategic framework. And she is sitting here. So y'all better read and understand there are rules of engagement. And when you put a plan and you put it in action, things happen. So, yeah,
she's
it's good
ready
to be sitting here with you.
If y'all could see me, I'm just smiling at her like, oh, you're on my advisory board. You're everything and you don't even know it.
Love that.
But she's great. So I want to start out by talking about the bad chick. Now, when I say bad chick, I don't mean bad as in, oh, you were doing bad things. But I mean, from your book, you were that bad chick. You were dating the NBA player, you know. Seemed like you were kind of balling out of control, you know, mm-hmm. with him. So in the beginning of the book, you had just graduated and you still lived at home, no plans. And you said you were in a bad relationship, but you made up in your mind that you had something had to change. So what was the something? Because sometimes people say something's got to change, but they keep going on. So what was the something that made you change?
So I'll say this, that, you know, I had a dream. And I write about this in the
yes.
book, that God presented himself to me and he didn't say a word. He was silent, and in silence to me is like huge disappointment, because when you're yelling at somebody, you're getting it out. But when there's no words, you know that the disappointment is so big that people don't even have a word
to say
for it.
Okay.
Now, what I'll say is that although he presented himself to me in a dream, he's whispering to us all the time, but we're so busy and we're so mired in foolishness that we can't even hear his direction or what's
okay.
going on. So I say that we all have to just stop and listen. the whole premise of the book Strategic is that we women are born with intuition.
Okay.
If we can give birth to a child, then we know when someone rolls up on us and that there's that tingly feeling that says, this is probably not good for us. We just ignore it. So I said, we have to start paying to all of our senses and understand when there's a message sent to us that we have to listen. Okay. And if we do that, I'm telling you, things would be very different. So I started listening to all the signs and symptoms and things that were going on around me and decided to take a different walk and path.
Now, it's funny you mentioned God, because that was another one of my questions. You said that he spoke to you in a nonverbal way. So had God always been a part of your life? Was he a part of your upbringing, or did you were you into church at that time, or just had a relationship, or what was it? Because clearly you knew it was God, so, and you knew that you had to listen. So had he always been a part of your life?
You know, yes and no. Okay. Not to the magnitude he is today, because I've seen so many miracles. Okay. You know, in today's times, miracles are these small things that allow you to move in a way that every average person just doesn't get to do.
Like me sitting here.
He's moving things out your way. So I would say that it was so humbling because I hadn't honored him the way that I should for him to present himself to me.
Okay.
And no one's actually ever asked me that question. I actually never really thought about it, but I had gone to Catholic school and I went in and out of church, but I didn't have the walk that I have today. But he loves us no matter what. And when he sees that we are burning, he will step in and make adjustments, but it's up to us to walk the path.
And I love how you just said, because I never thought about it in those terms, even though you didn't honor him, he still felt worthy enough to show you his presence, because he doesn't always show his, sometimes he'll turn his back.
That's why I don't even have a choice but be successful in this path. I mean, it's not even an option to lose because I've already won because I know him. So I'm not, it's not an option. People are like, why do you work so hard? Yes, I made my dad a promise, but I know I'm chosen. And for me not to walk in that, that would be just a life travesty.
Wow. Okay. That's okay. Yeah. It's a good answer. I'm trying to stay on track, y'all, but I just keep looking at her like, oh, okay.
Hey, it's the truth. That is the honest to God truth.
Now, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
When you were in the relationship with the NBA person, did he ever ask you about your dreams that pertain just to you, Michelle? Because so many women are in these relationships and they, you give so much of yourself, but did he ever ask about your dreams? And if he didn't, did you ever start to resent it being just about him? Because I know you did mention that at the time you felt like you were born to be a wife.
Right.
So did he ever try to prompt you like, Michelle, what are your dreams? Or was he just content with you thinking you were being born just to be a wife?
You know the answer to that, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I figured.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but this is it's an important question, because unless that question's asked, we have to assume that it's not meant. And what I mean by that is people show actions that they want you to succeed, and they may do little gestures. But until you have that dialogue, like, I'm down for you, how can I help you? What do you want me to do for you? What is it that we're going to do together? I don't believe it's real.
Okay.
So I don't want to hear from women, oh, but my man shows me this and he does. I need more than that.
Okay.
I need a concrete plan.
Okay.
And then I need action after that, because sometimes it's just a lot of talk.
Right.
So we never had that dialogue. Matter of fact, it was one of the reasons. But why should we? I never showed that I wanted to be anything other than with him.
Okay.
Right. So why should people give you more than you want for yourself?
Okay.
And when I did want to finally go back to school, that really was a demise of our relationship. So I knew that I could not spend my life asking somebody for to give me permission to buy a pack of gum or get a CD or go someplace drive your car. Like, I just, like that, I'm not born from that fabric.
Well, because hearing you speak and in person, your presence, and so I couldn't even see you
it was not
doing
good.
That. I am glad that you're not on Basketball Wives, though.
Because I'd have been whooping somebody's head, and I joke about that. Yeah, that was not. And I'm so grateful that wasn't the path that was chosen for me and that I decided to listen and not walk down that path. You know, but there's something for everybody. I feel like women give so much. Matter of fact, I was at a conference speaking, one of my very first speaking engagements, this woman asked me a question. She goes, Michelle, I want to ask you a question. You know, my husband this and my husband that, and I want to blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I really want him to, you know, be happy with what I'm doing. And I had a conversation with him and I said, okay, so you're at a women's conference and there are 200 women here and you're standing up asking how he feels. Now, I want to know, where is he today? And is he asking his friends the same thing?
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying that you guys don't have a great relationship, but don't spend your time for you talking about how he feels about what you're doing. I said, that's the problem in itself.
Right.
Don't do that. Don't waste the time given to you, the 1 hour you have on a Saturday that you carved out and paid for to come, and you're worried about, have that conversation with him. Come here with your sisters and talk about how we can uplift you and help you, how you can have find an advocate. Do you even know the person sitting next to you? Did you introduce yourself? Like, so don't, please, don't ask me. No.
But you know what? Maybe, even though she shouldn't, maybe it's glad because she got the real. Because so many other people may have that conversation with her and say, well, you know how girlfriends say, well, maybe you should try this or try that. But you told her the real. So hopefully she'll take your advice and then pass that on to the next woman who asked her.
Well, it was passed on to 199 other people in that room, okay?
Right, but that makes so much sense.
Yeah, wow. Let's not do that.
So now I'm going to move on to that chick.
Okay.
So you made the decision at the age of 25 to go back to school, financially supporting yourself and working two jobs, even though you were just with somebody who probably could have financed it all.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that kept you motivated to keep going when... I'm sure there were times, because you said that you cleaned houses. So I'm sure there were times cleaning those houses and you going back to school that you maybe briefly reflected on when you didn't have to work and when you didn't have to do all that. So what kept you motivated to keep going when you know you could have easily went back to the other lifestyle?
I mean, I think a couple of things. You know, people always ask, are you born a leader or a leadership quality? So my dad, who was a local businessman, he was a car salesman dealer.
Okay.
And then he opened up a local restaurant. And in that restaurant, everybody would gather, from Jesse Jackson to all the local preachers and politicians. And so at the age of 12, I worked there. And worked. So he instilled in my brother and I, because my brother worked at the car wash, I worked in the restaurant. I cleaned more chitlins, okay, than a whole lot of folk. Okay, my family's from New Orleans. So I was, what was instilled in me, and it's not lost upon me. That's why, you know, I'm on my kids. I was like, I'm not, no, you have to have chores. You have to work. They're not working in the same way, but they still have to understand that I know how my fabric was built.
Okay.
And that was from working at the age of 12. So I was already a worker.
Okay.
So, you know, and to depend on me, to have to depend on some man, really, that, and it wasn't two-sided, like the love wasn't mutual, it just wasn't positive. I was like, okay, something's wrong with this. So I knew instinctively something was wrong, but then when God presented himself, oh, it was over.
You could, there's nothing.
I was like, I would rather clean somebody's house and walk in my purpose one day,
okay,
because I knew I could get there because I was a hard worker, than have to deal with this foolishness. No.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So then no wonder you never went back if you kept that in the forefront, number one, of your mind, and if it's already in the fabric of your DNA. So, like, you didn't have a choice.
I didn't have a choice.
It was almost like it chose you versus you being able to choose it. So you had no other choice. Okay. So now let me ask you this, because with you dealing with women, we all have women friends, family members. During the time that you were working two jobs and taking classes and committed to walking in your God-designed destiny, you had girlfriends that probably knew you before, when you were in the relationship and doing all this. Did any of them try to stop you, whether covert or overt? Did they, you know, girl, why are you doing that? Or why don't you just go back and let him take care of it? Or why are you cleaning somebody's house? Did you have any of that? And if so, how did you remove them?
So I would say this. So there's a couple messages in that question. The first is, I've always been a risk taker. So what I didn't put in the book is that from 18 to 21-ish or 22, I worked on a naval base. And that's one of the reasons I didn't go back to school, because it was paying me like $20 an hour. Okay. And I actually just put it in the new Strategic 2.0 version. So where I worked on this base, and I kind of had flow and money. And I, you know, so I was making money. And then I met this guy and, you know, who was the NBA player. But I kind of always had, so I was always a risk taker. So when I decided to quit the naval base, people were like, you crazy. Girl, that's a good government job.
Okay.
Right? So then when I met him and then broke up with him, they're like, girl, you crazy. So people all my life have always said, when I left CNN, they're like, girl, you crazy. You leaving CNN to go to BET, the best decision I've ever made. So I've always had, so we cannot be afraid to take risks.
Okay.
period. Especially if your prayer is, God, close the door you would not have me walk through. Not the one you want, because there might be three or four doors. Okay. And you're not really so close the door that I know is not good for me.
Okay.
So when I've done that, close the door, then I'm good doing all these things. Now, the other lesson in that is people are going to drop off. And when my dad passed away, he's like, baby girl, where you're going, the journey you're on, you're not going to take everybody with you. And don't feel bad about that, because it's not you, it's them.
Okay.
And just recognize that and move on. So people have moved on, no longer friends, but my core group, we still.
I know they would pull out the Vaseline for you. I heard that on the.
Look, we all keep some on our desk.
I got some
in
my purse. Stop
playing, exactly.
I love that. Okay.
Yes.
So now we're going to move on to strategic. And y'all, I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you at the end how to get the book, but you have to get the book. It asked some tough questions. She had me looking at myself like, I got to close this Kindle for a minute and get myself together before I can finish some of those questions. Like, wait a minute. When you're truly, you make people be honest with themselves. And that's what I love about your book. So now in the book, Strategic, you give us the official definition for the word strategy, which is defined as a careful plan or method for achieving a particular goal, usually over a long period of time. You also share that other sources state the origination of the word is a military term, hence there's no female connotation to it. So what is it that made you feel that you had to come up with a word that encompasses the meaning of strategy, but yet related specifically to women?
Because women from the beginning of time have been fighting for their lives, fighting for their family. We already at war all the time. You know, when something happens, you know, the first person be like, what? You say that to who?
Right.
So we're fighting for the wrong reason. So I'm saying have a strategy and fight for yourself.
Okay.
Like, we are in those times that is necessary. So and I love to take people off guard. Oh, I'm not a strategist. Oh, strategy is not used for me, for a woman. Okay. Well, let's go on and give all women the title of strategic. If she's planning, if she is walking in her purpose,
okay.
If she is following through and building her relationships, let's give her a title and a name and a branding that says, no, you don't. Nobody can tell you that you can't put a plan together. And activate it.
I love it.
Activate your superpowers, as we like to say.
We are strategic. I love that.
Okay. But for everyone else.
But not for ourselves. Well, see, I think you're a mind reader, because that leads into my next question.
Right.
It's always for everyone else.
For everyone else.
Okay. So now, in your words, strategic is when women carefully design or plan to serve a particular purpose or advantage for their lives. So I was blown away with your definition, because I never looked at my life like I have to design a plan to get to the plan that God has for me. I was always focused on the plan he had for me. So what was there a defining moment in your life that shifted your perspective to focus on creating that strategic plan to get to God's plan so that you could carry out the plan in a way that honors God? Or did you always innately know that you had to physically create a plan to get to the master plan?
So, you know, I've been wanting to write a book. I've been wanting to write a book for a long time, and it's gone through several iterations. And I'll never forget this. I was laying in bed, it was midnight, and I was like, what am I gonna write a book on? I was like, you know what, Michelle, you've just been a strategist. Like, you know, things have happened and you're paying attention and you're making moves. I was like, you know what, maybe I should write a book on strategy. I was like, I'm a strategist, you know. And then I thought about it. I was like, what's a female version for strategy? I was like, wait a minute, this could be strategic. Then I Googled it, and then my husband was like, you're crazy. And then I got a credit card, and I went to GoDaddy, and I said, I'm gonna own this word. And then I LLC'd. I did a lot of things, right? My daughter's like, you should actually make that word in the dictionary. But
yeah,
but there's a whole lot of things around that.
Okay.
But the whole point was that I had watched my life, and when things didn't go the way that I wanted, when people didn't give me what I had earned, when I even learned to ask, because 80% of women don't ask for what they've earned. They don't even know what it is. They don't have the metrics. And I've done that time and time again. Then I started telling other people to do it. I was like, you know what? Let me put all this in this little book and begin to tell women, you know, we don't actually have to be given what people want to give us. We can actually get what we've earned.
Wow.
And I don't even have to wait for somebody to do that. So I always tell people, I'm not a CEO at this company, but I'm a CEO of my company,
which is your life,
strategic
your family.
Strategic LLC. I'm the president. So I created my own CEO title, and people look at you differently.
Okay,
when you take the initiative, do something. Even people at my job, they're like, "I didn't even know you were writing a book. Of course you didn't. Why would I tell you that?" Why would I share that with you?
Wow.
Why would I don't need, I'm just going to walk in this. And then all of a sudden, what happened? My little Miss Brittany is sitting here. I was like, Brittany, this book is done. She's like, people are going to be so
blown away. Brittany is the best, y'all, by the way. I just had to shout
Brittany
that out.
My right hand, left hand, prayer warrior.
Wow.
So I just put in the book the conversations I had had with women along the way. And look, for real, the men could use this book too. I felt like I wanted to give something to women because we're always serving people. We're in servitude all the time, and we should be serving our best selves, because when we walk in our best selves, then we become or get to a place where we can actually empower others.
Okay.
And we want to do that. We want to uplift other people. So that was the notion. So I just put all that planning, all those things. And when I decided to leave CNN, I really had a master plan. And it's in the book.
I loved it. And I because I say I don't work outside of the home, I can use your strategy in the home, because I'm the CEO. My husband's
you're
the
still working.
Head, but I'm the CEO
yes.
of the home. You know, he's the president, but I'm the CEO.
Yeah.
So, you
he's
know.
In the background shaking his head, yes. A nice handsome gent.
I'm not going to disagree.
So that's you know right. You helped me be able to kind of strategize a little bit better and not waste so many of my days away watching basketball wise, but that's another podcast.
Yes, exactly.
So now I heard you speak at the Great Girlfriends What Women Want Power Up Conference via the Great Girlfriends podcast, episode 72. Then you were also
72. I got to bring it. Who's going to put me number one? Let's put that on my to-do list. Okay, go ahead.
And then you were also on episode 47, Being Strategic. So, but your passion to help other women is obvious, it's clear, and it's inspiring. So have you always had a desire to help other women become their best selves? Because I've run across a lot of people in life, and that's not always, with women, sometimes that's not always what's presented. I want to help a woman become her best self. But with you, you're not just saying it. I told my husband, I told about 50 people, when you said at the women's conference,
mm-hmm.
y'all know I'm in TV. So if any of y'all wrote a TV show, I hope you brought it. I'm like, Lord Jesus. Like, you know, because you were like, that's touchable. How many women are in your position that'll say, you got anything I can look at?
Yeah.
You know, so why do you have such a strong desire,
well,
rather?
So men and women, look, I have a giving spirit. I just hopefully helped a young man get an internship. Well, I was trying to get an internship at HBO, but they look like they may be offering him an opportunity to be an entry level employee.
Wow.
So it's okay. Not just about women. Yes, I'm focused on women because I think that I don't see enough women in the hallways of corporate America.
Okay.
There's only 28 CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. Zero are African-American. Mm. Ursula Burns was the last one who left Xerox in 2016. So I am definitely passionate about that. You know, when I'm still making 80 cents on every dollar that a man makes, yet 50% of us are actually the breadwinners in our home. There's work for women to do.
Okay.
So I told the story about how someone, you know, I got this job, even though someone put me, you know, gave me a bad reference when my boss called them. But that's not the point of this story. The same person who hired me sat me down. He is a brother. He is a vice president at a big entertainment company. And there are very few of them. And he said, I gave you this opportunity, even though someone told me not to. So it's up to you to make sure that you give everyone else an opportunity that you know has earned it and is worth it. And that was not lost on put. And Brittany can tell you that if I give my word is bond. You know, like I might get a little forgetful, so you might have to remind me. But my word, like when I say I'm going to do something, I try and make that happen. So I promised him that this seat that he gave me, I would handle responsibly. And now that I'm in a position that I can hire people, I make sure that I'm taking care of folks that other folks wouldn't even consider, but I know are talented. And I have the power to do that. And I activate it all the time. And I believe, and the last story I'll tell is my daughter and I were walking to, and I put this in her, she put this in her essays to the school she wants to go to. We were walking to a mailbox. We just bought a new house. And she goes, Mommy, you know what? I believe we have this house because of all the good things that we do for other people. And this is God's blessing for us. And for her to be 12 and recognize that it's not about even living in this house. It's about that maybe this is one of our blessings just because we do it unselfishly. Sweet. For everyone else that we can absolutely help.
Mm. That was, wow, okay. So then my last question to you, I don't know if you've thought about this, so I'm gonna throw it out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to write a letter to the future Michelle Thornton, let's say 5 years from now, what would you be congratulating yourself on accomplishing that you haven't yet done?
So maybe I should break this out on the podcast, right? Because I just got a letter today.
Am I getting live breaking news? Do y'all hear that?
Yeah. So I got and this is actually kind of touching. Okay. So I got a call from the school that I went to, Golden Gate University, which is a vocational school. So most of the students that go there work full time. So you saw I had two jobs, but I went to school full time. And it was mandatory because I was on a scholarship.
Okay.
But I got a letter today and they asked me to do the commencement services for the 2017 undergraduate class. And to graduate at 31 and to not know what I'm going to do. And to be able to go back to that school and say, I proudly stand here. So it would be something I would write in a letter to myself that I don't even know if I could believe it would come true.
Okay.
But to experience that right now. So I wouldn't even write a letter because I wouldn't want to write something down that is so small because God may have something bigger for me.
Okay.
I wouldn't even write a letter to myself. I wouldn't even do it.
Because you're living in the, you're enjoying now.
Because what we write down, we know becomes reality. That's what my whole book is about. So if I write it down, God may say, that's what I'm going to give you because you wrote it down and you asked for it. But I had 10 times more.
Okay.
So I'm not going to even write myself a 5-year letter out. Okay. I'm going to plan for the next 3, 6, 12 months. Right. And be open to the possibilities of things I can't even see. Okay. Matter of fact, Brittany gave me a book called The Circle Makers. And The Circle Maker says that don't pray to me what you can accomplish. Pray to me the impossible, because if it's not impossible, then it's not worthy of my time and attention. So I don't want you to bring me the little stuff. I've equipped you to be a live caster. I've equipped you to be an author or a TV executive. Oh, but you want to change women around the world? Then I might step in and intervene. I might help you with that little task or mission that you want. So I'm trying to live up to all the little messages that come to me.
Wow.
And no, I ain't writing nothing down because it's not even big enough. I can't even think about the possibilities, just like I couldn't think about being the commencement speaker at my old school.
And giving people hope, because sometimes you see so many people come through. But for you to be, again, touchable and give people hope.
Correct.
That I graduated not sure what I was going to do, so
had
you
no
can
idea.
Do it too.
And at 31. Mm. And the best part of that is I'm going to stay at the hotel in which I worked at the front desk.
Wow.
So that I can have a full experience. So I worked at that front desk at the Grand Hyatt for 4 years. I'm going to go back and be a guest as a commencement speaker to a school that I fought through and watched my dad pass away. Like, I'm telling you, God is
full
circle. So you're the first person to know that.
Wow.
Because I actually have the letter. It just came in.
Oh, my gosh.
Last night.
That's beautiful.
It says something about they're getting a doctorate, but I'm not going to throw that out there yet because that has to be approved. But God knows what he wants to do with me.
Wow. Let somebody give me a doctorate. I'm signing everything.
Okay, exactly. Honorary.
I
don't care. But yeah, so shout out to Golden Gate University for recognizing me and honoring me and allowing me to come back and give inspiration to the next set of folks that are coming to the world and make a change and difference.
Wow. I'm just really full right now. You know how you eat a good meal and you could just get under the covers and go to sleep? I feel that way just sitting in your presence, like, I'm full right now. Meanwhile, my hubby's in the background giving me the countdown, but I'm like, as long as she's sitting here and talking, I'm just going to keep going. So I thank you so much, first of all, Brittany. It says a lot when someone's administrative assistant is so nice to you. And from the first time I called and she called me back and she worked with me on some things and dates, and it just says a lot that speaks to the leadership, you know, above that person. So Brittany, I just want to thank you for getting me in the door and letting Michelle know I wasn't crazy, because y'all, she thought I was crazy.
I did.
And I'm gonna tell y'all, it is important what you put on your social media, because they checked my social media and had it when I came in. I'm like, take a picture of it and put it up. So it is very important, as
your
Michelle
resume.
Said, yes, to control what goes out there about you. So again, Brittany, I thank you so much. I am indebted to you. And Michelle, I just thank you. I wanted to hug her, y'all, but I wasn't sure. And then when she came in for the hug, I was like, okay, again, I just want to thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to just sit in your presence, soak up your wisdom. I was telling my husband on the train ride up here that, thinking about it, I'm like, I really didn't have a lot of in my mind, people say, oh, that's my role model, or that's my WCW, my Women Crush, yeah. you know, Wednesday. I never really thought of people in terms like that. Then Michelle Obama came along, and I'm like, well, you know, still, yes, but when I heard you, and then when you were so responsive, and your office was so responsive, and I'm sitting on the train telling him, and I'm excited. He's like, it's okay to let it out. I'm like, I'm excited. So I want to thank you for being a role model when you didn't know it, for being on my advisory board. You guys will have to get the book Strategic, which is available on Amazon and
on Kindle on Amazon, because Amazon, to me, does not give money to authors who are self-published. So I took my own book back. It was a good business decision, and it's on my website. So I fulfilled my own book, and I've sold thousands of them on my website. Wow. So it's www.strategic.com.
Okay. Yes, you guys have to get her book. It will definitely help you get through a lot of things and probably accomplish everything that you set out to do, because it worked for me. I followed her advice to the letter, and let me tell you, it worked. So guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. You can follow Michelle on Twitter at
Strategic everything, Instagram Strategic, Twitter Strategic. You have to have alignment in your brand, or people, you don't want people to have to search for you. So that was one of the things that I fought for, to make sure that the word was available on every single platform. So Strategic, I own on every single platform. I don't really do Snapchat, although my daughter tells me that I'm a wackadoo because I don't, because Snapchat's the next thing, mommy. Snapchat, okay, great, got
my
it.
My son made me one and I couldn't figure it out, so I just deleted it off my phone.
Me too. I don't even know what's going on. But I want to congratulate you, because you were persistent, and you know, I say you got to call people 10 times, because you're not calling for me, you're calling for yourself. And so I see you on a journey, and I want to just pray over you that you can be all that he has you become, because I know you raised two great kids, you got a good husband, but it's your time, and I'm glad you're standing in it. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's funny, I actually have a third who's 20. She just turned 20 in the Air Force.
Oh, wow.
Getting ready to go to Japan in September.
Wow. See, I'm telling you. So you did good work, and now it's time to do some good work for yourself.
Thank you. You just don't know. You have a you have a lifer in me. You just don't know it yet.
Okay, so I'll take it.
So guys, again, you have got to go to Strategic, and I'm gonna spell it for you. Strategic, and you have got to get this book. I promise you. I mean, she's sitting here, the senior vice president of BET and TV Centric. So if that doesn't show you that her strategy works, I'm not sure what else will. So guys, you can follow me on Twitter at TS Faison, Facebook Tales from a Butterfly, and on Instagram at TS Faison. And guys, I want you to remember, no matter what it is you go through in life, no matter what you face this week, you will not be stuck where you are. No matter what phase of the metamorphosis you're in, you will come out of it okay, because your current caterpillar will one day become your future butterfly. Fly on, butterflies. Love you guys, and thanks for listening.